The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Well, we have lots of opportunities to give around here, huh? I was just thinking, if you're here for the first time, you probably think all we talk about is money. Giving, giving, giving. Well, the reason we believe in giving is because I believe, as pastor, that exactly what I taught in my message last week, that giving is the key that unlocks God's blessing in our lives. And there's different types of giving, and we're going to talk about that later on in this message. But this message that I started last week is also about giving. It's supernatural, strategic, financial management. And the reason I want to talk about this is because I believe the body of Christ needs to understand that managing your money is not just a physical thing, it's supernatural. There is a supernatural way of doing things. God's word tells us and gives us a supernatural direction on how we should be handling our finances. Not just about giving, it's also about managing everything. Last week I talked about the fact that we are managers. God owns it all, but we're managers. We manage what God has placed into our hands. It's not ours, but we should be a good manager of what He has given us. And that's overall. But as I begin to talk this morning, I'm going to talk about blessed you shall be. And we're looking at Deuteronomy. We're going to look at some of the same scripture that I speak over the congregation every Sunday in regards to being blessed out of Deuteronomy. What God said was going to happen to His people. We shall be blessed. So I want you to understand, blessing is part of what God wants for you. But when we talk about being blessed and being prosperous, I don't just mean financially. You know, I believe God wants us to have a good, comfortable life and be able to sow and give into His kingdom. But the blessings of God are so much greater than that. The blessings of God extend into every area of our life. We're supposed to have a well-rounded biblical life. That's what God wants for us. And different people have different ideas of what success is or what prosperity is. Three sons had left their home, and their mother was a devout Christian believer. And they became very successful. One of them, Tim, was an investment banker. The other, Tom, was a CEO of a large corporation, and Doug was a construction, had his own construction company, worldwide construction company. And they were always competing with one another about who was more successful than the other. Well, they all got together and they decided that they wanted to have their mother, they wanted to buy some things for their mother, and it was all competition with them, of course. So Tim bought her this huge mansion, and he was always bragging about the mansion that he bought for his mother. And Tom, he bought her a Mercedes and provided a driver for her, a chauffeur. And Doug said, "I got you both beat." He said, "I went to Europe, and I went to a monastery, and I purchased a parrot that it took the men in the monastery 20 years to train this parrot to speak scripture. It knows the Bible from beginning to end." He said, "I paid a mint for this thing, but you know how much Mom loves the Bible. So she's going to love this. I've got you beat." Well, they all decided, well, we're going to go talk to Mom and see which gift she liked the most. So they walked in, and there was Mom. She was in one room of the house, and Tim said to Mom, "Mom, how do you like this mansion?" And she said, "Well, Tim, you know, this is a big house. It's so big that I just live in this one room, but I have to clean the whole thing." So Tom said, okay, Mama, well, how do you like your Mercedes and your driver? She said, well, you know, I'm getting older. I don't go many places. I don't drive around. And besides, that chauffeur, he's rude. I don't like him much. Well, Doug said, I've got this thing wrapped up. You know, I'm the favorite here. So he said, Mom, what about my gift? And she looked at the other two boys and she said, sons, Douglas is the only one that understands me. He sent me that wonderful bird, and I want to tell you, it was the best chicken I ever ate. I tell you that crazy little story because success and prosperity means different things to different people. My children, when I think about my family, I think about success, I normally think about family because I want my family to be successful. And I want to have good relationship with my children and my grandchildren. When I talk about family, I get choked up. But when I was in Texas for Father's Day, and my daughter Jessica got me this card, and it could have come from any three of my children, because they all know and they understand how much I value family. So this is what the front of the card says: a father considers wealth not in possessions, but in the happiness of his family. She couldn't have spoke to me in a greater way, because that's exactly how I feel. My family is that important. It's not about any material possession. It's not about anything that I do except for things that I do for the kingdom of God. My life is about serving God and Jesus Christ and serving my family. Amen. And you know, our church, of course, is family. We love one another. And this is what's important. It's, you know, when we stand before our Father in heaven, when we stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's not nothing that you have. Your car, your home, your motorcycle, your four-wheeler, your boat, all those things that you value right now are going to mean nothing to you. When you stand before the living God that we serve, He's going to look and He's going to judge you based on, and He's going to give you rewards. You're not going to go to heaven or hell based on the things that you do in this life. But He is going to give you rewards according to the Word of God that are going to be poured into you because of the good things you've done. Because of the good things that you have accomplished on this earth. There's incentive to do good. Not only because of treasure in heaven, but I want to tell you, there's incentive to do good here in this earth. He has promised us that we're going to see His goodness in the land of the living. Yeah. Amen. I love that. I love it. So what we're going to look at this morning is supernatural, strategic, financial plan or management that God has for us. And I want to share with you this idea, this thing that comes from Deuteronomy, blessed shall you be. So let's look at the scripture this morning. Begin with Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Go back to verse 1, please. Okay. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. What is going to happen if we obey the voice of the Lord our God? Blessings are going to come and overtake us. All kinds of blessings. And we're going to look at some of those blessings that he tells us that we can expect. Because, why? Because we're obeying the voice of the Lord our God. Now, I'm not telling you that you're going to be perfect and you're never going to make any mistakes. you're never going to sin. I'm telling you, God is looking for obedient people with a pure heart, a desire to serve Him. Yes. And when we have that, and we apply the Word of God to our life, we can believe in these blessings. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Go ahead to the next scripture. Blessed shall you be, shall be the fruit of your body. So the fruit of your body, your children are going to be blessed. The produce of your ground. Hallelujah. You know, they were an agricultural society. So they needed to have the produce of their ground blessed. We need to have the produce of our ground blessed. We're not all farmers anymore. We used to be around here, just about everybody. How many grow gardens? Are there anybody in here growing a garden? I have a garden. Few of you have gardens. I love fresh produce, tomatoes, cucumbers. We've been getting a lot of cucumbers out of our garden. You know, but in order to survive, we need to have our land blessed so that it will produce. Amen? Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offering of your flocks. Blessed shall be your baskets and your kneading bowl. Next. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. How many believe that God is the one that's fighting your battles for you? Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Don't try to fight your own battles. Yes. Yes. You will just do nothing but get yourself in trouble. I try to give people advice. When somebody's talking about you, don't go on Facebook and tell the whole world how you feel about it. Come on, sir. They don't need to know. Thank you. Stop that nonsense. Yes. Take it to God. Take it to your Lord, your Savior. Pray and seek His face. Let Him fight your battles for you. You're wasting your time. And you're airing out your dirty laundry for everybody to see. Yes, yes. And know what's going on in your life. Wake up! Amen. Recognize that you're bringing problems on yourself. You're creating more difficulty. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. That is awesome. God is on your side. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead. Next one. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouse and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. He's going to bless you wherever you go, whatever you, your storehouse. You're going to have plenty. You're going to have some extra. Hallelujah. You know what we're supposed to do with that extra? Not just store it up. Bless people. Build the kingdom of God with it. God has given you the power to get wealth, to establish His covenant. That's what we know. That's what we understand. Does that mean you can't have a good time? You can't. God expects people to use what He has given them to enjoy life. In fact, part of the tithe in the Old Testament, they were to take it, go to Jerusalem. If they were too far away, they were to sell their flocks and their produce, bring the money there, and purchase whatever they wanted so they could throw a big party and enjoy it. They were to invite the priests. They were to invite the poor. Anybody who was prosperous was to bless others. God wants you to enjoy this life. But He also wants you to keep His kingdom in mind and everything is due. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And everything else is going to be taken care of, He said. Jesus told us that. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He's sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, hallelujah. Walk in His ways. Keep His commandments. Walk in His ways. Now, I want you to see something here. It says, He will establish you, establish you as a holy people to himself. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to bring you back to that scripture later on as we continue with this message. He's going to establish. He was talking basically, at this point, he's talking to the Jewish people, to the Israeli people, I should say, the Hebrew people. Because, of course, we know that the Jews are just a portion of the Hebrew people, of Israel. There's 10 tribes that people, you know, there's all kinds of teachings out there about where those 10 tribes have gone and where they are today. And maybe there's some good, honest people out there trying to find out. That's awesome. But what I do know this is that today in Israel is a population of people who say they're Jewish, who say that they're followers of God. There's a segment of that society. There's a segment of society. There's several groups in Israel. There's Orthodox. There's moderate Orthodox. There's secular. There's other groups. But the majority of people in Israel today are secular Jews. They do not adhere to the teachings of the Torah. That doesn't mean that they have not learned things from the Torah, because most of them have been raised in a household or a society, in a family or a culture that taught Torah principles. So they understand the Torah. And that's really important, because what I'm about to share with you is important. God is clearly speaking to the Jewish or the Israeli people in these scriptures. That doesn't mean we can't claim them for ourselves, and I'm going to show you how we can in just a little bit. But here's what I want you to understand about the Jews, the people who are of the Jewish state today, or have our descendants. Jews make up less than half of 1% of the world's population. But they consistently have made up more than 20% of the Forbes 400 list of the richest people in the world. 30% of Nobel Prize winners in science are Jewish. Major Hollywood companies, studios like Paramount Pictures, Universal Studios, are all owned and run by Jews. Virtually in every industry throughout the world, successful Jews are disproportionately represented. And I'm going to tell you why. I believe it's because of their teachings throughout their lifetime. The culture of teaching the Torah. Now, there's a rabbi by the name of Levi Brackman. He wrote an article that I read just the other day, and it says, Why Jews Are Disproportionately Successful. And here's what he said in this article. He said, while some people think that Jewish success has to do with genetics, and others surmise that it is related to our intense persecution, it is my contention that Jewish success has to do with Judaism itself. Inherent within Jewish religious teachings and Torah stories are ideas that relate directly to behaviors and attitudes that lead directly to successful outcomes. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying that they teach the Word of God to their children. Even those who do not have the Word of God directly taught to them, their culture is such that the Torah becomes a part of their lifestyle. And in the reality of the Word of God, when the Word of God is spoken and people begin to respond to the Word of God, nothing can happen except success. I believe that. Now, we used to have a culture here in the United States that was similar to that. We used to have a culture that in the home, the Word of God was, we reverenced the Word of God, and we taught the Word of God. We used to have a place in our schools for the Word of God. We used to have a place in our churches for the Word of God. I think we're sliding further and further away from that. The truth is not being taught so much. We used to have a place for the Word of God in our whole society. The Ten Commandments were a part of our judicial system, which they're trying their best to remove that. We used to have a society that taught biblical principles. And whether people went to church or not, they learned those biblical principles, they applied them, and our nation became successful. People became successful, and we were able to accomplish much. And further we move away from the teachings of the Word of God, the more and more we are becoming a society that expects handouts. We're expecting the government to take care of us rather than bucking up and recognizing that our power comes from the resources that God has given us, the wisdom, the understanding, and to know the Word of God and apply it to our life. These things are working in the lives of those who apply it. I'm telling you this morning, I want you to understand, I don't care where you are financially right now. If you will take the Word of God, believe it, and begin to apply it, it will change your situation. It won't happen overnight. It's a process, but it will change your situation. So why are the Jewish people so successful? Because Psalms 119 says, 89, it says this, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." You have that scripture? Wow. "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." It's settled in heaven. If it's settled in heaven, it's settled here on earth. It's settled in all of God's creation. So if his word says something, we can trust it. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it." God's word is that powerful. If you can trust the word of God, if you can take the word of God, trust the word of God, apply the word of God to your life, it will change everything in your life. Our God is that good and that powerful. And he's given us his word. Rabbi Brachman also wrote a book, Jewish Wisdom for Business Success, Lessons from the Torah and Other Ancient Texts. In his book, he says this, "It is therefore a little wonder that Jews who have studied the greatest book of wisdom ever written, the Torah, are disproportionately successful in every area of endeavor. And even those who do not actively study the Torah still benefit from its wisdom in the form of attitudes and teachings that Jewish parents and communities teach and pass down." That's what I was just talking to you about. What we need to do in our lives and in our Christian culture. Listen, we no longer have a society that is permeated with the Word of God. Our children are going to learn these principles of being successful according to the kingdom of God in family, in finance, in their business endeavors, in their relationships. These things are going to come as you, as parents and grandparents, instill those principles in your children. You can't expect the society to do it. You can't even expect the church to do it. We have your children for an hour and a half on Sunday mornings. We're not going to be able to do it. You have to do it. You have to take the time. You have to settle in your heart that you're going to teach biblical principles to your children. Take opportunity to teach them about the Word of God. Get the Word of God out and read it to them. Read the great stories from the Bible to your children. Instill within them the desire to be strong and mighty and powerful. Those stories will teach them that they can do anything as long as God is on their side. That's right. That's right. Victorious God we have. Abraham. You can read this about Abraham in Genesis. Abraham was called out of his homeland, Ur of the Chaldees, to go to a place that he had no idea where he was going. But the Word of God tells us that he was counted faithful because he believed God. He left a comfortable place, and he went to a place that he had no idea where he was going. It doesn't matter whether you know where you're going or not. God is going with you. Abraham went, and God was with him wherever he went. He wasn't a perfect man. He lied. He did some things that were wrong. He couldn't wait on God to provide. It was that woman, though. We can be thankful to Sarah for that. That he couldn't wait on God to provide the child that God had promised. So he had an Ishmael. Be careful. We don't want to have Ishmaels, right? Look what's happening in our world today because of Ishmael. Ishmael's stirring up all kinds of problems. But that doesn't matter. God was still with him. God had a plan. I could tell you this, no matter where you are and what's going on in your life, you may not know where you're going or what's happening. God is still with you. He prospered Abraham in his way. His son Isaac. After Abraham's death, Isaac was in a time of famine. And he was thinking about going down to Egypt. And God spoke to him and he said, no, I want you to stay here in this land that I have given Abraham and given you. Isaac obeyed the Lord. And the scripture said that he went out in a time of famine. Nothing was growing. Everything was dying. He went out in a time of famine and he planted and he reaped 100-fold. That's what God can do for you, even when you feel like you're in a time of famine. God will be there. Whatever you're going through this morning, Jacob went to a place called Padan Aram. It means a tableland or a plain. It was a plateau. He ran away from his problems. Some of us try to run away from our problems sometimes, huh? But God had a plan in it. He deceived his father. He took his brother's birthright. God still had a plan in all those things. Sometimes our life comes to a place where it looks like it's just plateaued and we're not able to move on. God is still with you. He has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a place to prosper you. When Jacob left that place, he left with cattle and sheep and people and servants. He was an extremely prosperous man, even though he thought he had plateaued in his life. Think about David. David, the great king of Israel. He was anointed to be king. Samuel, the great prophet, anointed him. But you know what? David didn't just walk out and become king. He had to go through some stuff. I'm going to go through stuff sometimes. Even though you know God has called you, God has equipped you, God is going before you, you're going to go through some stuff. But God was with David. It was part of the process. David, for somewhere between 23 to 27 years, before that complete prophecy of him becoming the king of all Israel took place. Part of that time he was in the wilderness running from King Saul. Didn't seem very prosperous at that time, did he? But God was always there taking care of him. It doesn't matter. Even if we're running from our enemies or we feel like we're running from our enemies, God is still on our side. Yes, he is. He will prosper you. He will take care of you. Listen to his word. Be obedient to his word. Last thing I want to share with you this morning is, as we go through this, we recognize that God spoke these words to the Jewish people, to Israel. Do we have a biblical claim to the blessings of Abraham? It's important that we understand what the scripture says, because in Genesis 22:18, he told Abraham that in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And then we find in Galatians chapter 3:8, it says, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, he preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. He prepared Abraham and everyone who would receive Christ as their Savior to receive the blessings that he bestowed upon Abraham. So then those who are of faith, this is Galatians 3:9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise, of course, was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, coming, dying for our sins, making us free from death and hell, allowing us to have the opportunity to renew our relationship with the Father, to once again have a relationship with the Father. But that wasn't all the blessing of Abraham. Abraham was blessed in every area of his life, so we can claim those blessings in our life. If we will read the Word of God, trust the Word of God, speak the Word of God over our family and our life. Yes. Ephesians 1:3 says this, blessed are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, many times we read that and say, that says spiritual blessings. Wait a minute, Pastor, that's not talking about material blessings. You misunderstand the teachings of the Word of God. From a Hebrew perspective, spirituality was not this thing that they did at a certain time. Spirituality was a lifestyle. You're not spiritual just because you come to church on Sunday morning. They weren't spiritual just because they went to the synagogue. They were spiritual. They were spiritual beings because they served a living God who is a spiritual being. And they had a spirit in them. Life. Every area of our life is spiritual. That's why you got to be careful what you're watching on TV or the movies you go to. That's why you got to be careful with the books you read. Listen, you're going to get yourself in big trouble if you start reading the wrong kind of books or looking at the wrong kind of magazines. Listen, the body of Christ is in such trouble. There's a huge percentage of Christians that are addicted to pornography, not only men, but women. I'm not condemning people. I know this is the enemy's tactic to bind people up. But I want you to know there's freedom in Jesus Christ. You do not have to be addicted to anything. Your heavenly Father will set you free. Trust Him. God is still alive and He wants to prosper each and every one of us in our lives, in the things that we do. But most importantly, He wants the world to be able to look at you and say, what's different about that person? What's different about that church? What's different about that group of people that meet on Wednesday or Thursday or whatever day it is that you meet with your life groups? He wants people to know and take notice. That's what he wanted from the Israeli people. He set them up to be a light on a hill for the whole world. They failed. I hope we as the church do not fail that. We don't want to fail the Lord. We want to be a shining light. We want to be light, salt, and light to this world that we live in. Deuteronomy 28:9, it says this, and the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Now, I've beat this horse over and over. We have to know the Word of God. We have to establish our lives based on the Word of God. But I want you to see what it said there. I told you I was going to bring you back to this scripture. A holy people to himself. 1 Peter 2:9 says this about the body of Christ. That you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. We're his holy people. We have his blessings. Now, I'm not a replacement theology. I don't go for replacement theology that we replace Israel. The church replaces Israel. God is working with Israel in these last days to reveal the Messiah to them. He has a different agenda with them, but they're still his people. That doesn't mean they're pleasing to him. But you understand, just because they walk in some of these blessings that manifest in their life that I talked about, it doesn't mean that they're pleasing to God. They're walking in the blessings because God's word cannot come back to him void. And if they apply the word, they're going to have the blessings. That's how powerful God's word is. So as we talk about this, I want you to understand you are his holy people, holy nation. We must believe, claim, and understand the blessings of Abraham in our life. Blessed shall you be. Now, here's some crazy things that I've heard people say in the body of Christ. I can never get ahead. Well, stop trying to get ahead. Get behind God and let him lead you. That is just my luck. Well, you're not living by luck. You're living by the blessings of God. I do not have enough to share to give away. You don't understand the principles that God has placed in his word. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing shall men give unto your bosom. We have to understand these principles. And you may not have an overabundance to give like you think you have to have before you start giving. But if you begin to give with what you have, you will see God's blessings chase you down and overtake you. Because that's what his word says it'll happen. Money is the root of all evil. Now, the love of money. It's more spiritual being poor. Hallelujah. I don't know about that one. I just don't have even comment about it. Money will change me for the worse. No. Money's not going to change you at all. Money will reveal what's really in your heart. That's what it will do. It doesn't change people. That's why people who win the lottery or for some reason they inherit a huge amount of money, many of them and a huge number of them will go out and squander that money. Just throw it away on all kinds of things because the money reveals what's in their heart. Money reveals their moral attitudes. The money reveals the integrity or lack thereof that they have. That's what it does to us. It shows us who we really are. You have to sell your soul to have money. That's not true. Some of the greatest businessmen in the history of our nation, and many of them today, are believers in Jesus Christ. They serve him. They walk in integrity before the Lord. I heard John Maxwell say this one time. He teaches all kinds of success principles, godly man. And he said that a business called him up and said, "We would like for you to come and teach us success or business ethics." And he said to the gentleman, he said, "I can come and teach you ethics, but there's no such thing as business ethics. You either are ethical or you are not." Fact. So it doesn't matter whether you're in business, you're working for someone else, whether you're the CEO of a great company or you have a small business of your own. Your morals and your ethics will be revealed through the way you handle your finances. I know you don't want to hear that, but that's truth. The U.S. pastor, I'm about to wrap this up real quick. U.S. pastor was visiting an Ethiopian pastor that he was supporting, and he was talking to the local pastor about his church, and he walked around, and you know, there's poverty everywhere, Ethiopia. And he looked around and he was overwhelmed by this poverty. So he said to the Ethiopian pastor, he said, you know, we're just praying that prosperity, that you'll just become more prosperous. Now, remember, I talked about the fact that prosperity means different things to different people. And the pastor said, oh, pastor, we're doing fine. We have a close-knit group of people where all our needs are being met. We're just doing great. We feel like we're really prosperous. But he said, yeah, but we just want to see more material blessings on you. Prosperity. And the pastor, the Ethiopian pastor, looked at him and he said, sir, you don't understand. We are praying for you in your prosperity in the United States because you do not understand how difficult your life really is because the way you are prospered and the prosperity that God has brought into your life. Here's what he said to them. He said, this humble man turned to him and he said to him, in the midst of your prosperity, we pray that God would get hold of you spiritually and you will see true prosperity from the kingdom of God. The Ethiopian pastor explained to him, we pray for you Americans because it is much harder for you to live at the place God wants you to live in the midst of your prosperity than it is for us in the midst of all this poverty. That may be true. We're not getting the right perspective on things. We're not seeking first the kingdom of God. We have all kinds of things, stuff. And I got to tell you, I like stuff. I'm not going to lie to you. I like being able to get stuff. I like, you know, being able to drive a nice vehicle. I appreciate we don't have a huge home, but we're thankful that God provided a home for us. And, you know, we're able to live there and do some work on it and just some things. You know, we're just really blessed. I'm thankful for this church. You know, this is God's blessings on our congregation. Amen. I'm thankful that, you know, if I really desire something, I can usually figure out a way to get it. But I want you to understand that we must put ourselves in a position of recognizing that God's real blessings are not totally material things. God's real blessings come to us when we seek first His kingdom. Chase after His kingdom. Find out what His kingdom is all about. Live and do the things that are about God's kingdom. I'm going to wrap this up, but I would like to share with you. I've shared this story once before, but I remember hearing James Dobson many years ago. He was talking about his father. And his father was an evangelist. How many know James Dobson's Focus on the Family was originally his ministry, and he has something else, Family Talk, I believe is what it's called now, if you listen to it. Any of his programs on radio. You may not agree with him theologically in some areas. I do not. But his ministry has touched the lives of thousands and thousands of people and helped families. But he was talking about his dad being an evangelist, and they didn't have a whole lot when they were growing up. They had their needs met, and his dad would go and preach the word, and sometimes he would come home and his mom would say, how much did you get this time? And his dad would just kind of drop his head, and she would know. She would say, you gave it to the pastor, didn't you? And he'd say, yeah. Well, that went on for years and years. God took care of them. He met their needs. But over and over, he always When he felt like the pastor was in need, he would make sure the pastor's needs were met. When it came time for retirement, now this is how God takes care of his own. When it came time for retirement, they didn't have any retirement. And they didn't know exactly what they were going to do. But as they approached retirement, they found out that someone in their family had purchased stock in one of the major auto manufacturers years and years ago. They had purchased a lot of stock. That stock was worth a lot of money at that time. And that money was given to his dad and mom for them to live on during their retirement. They had not made plans, and I don't suggest that. I'm not telling you that you should make plans. But I want you to understand, when you live under the blessings of God, he's going to take care of his own. Next week, I'm going to talk about three things. I'm going to talk about three types of giving. I'm going to talk about tithing. I'm going to talk about free will offerings. I'm going to talk about almsgiving. And I'm going to share with you the different blessings that are bestowed upon God's people when we're obedient to give in those three areas. God is good. He's awesome. He'll never fail us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Trust his word. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and his kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.